Thank you. I'd like to call the Legislative Committee meeting to order for Friday, October 10th. First item would be to confirm the quorum. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm looking for a motion on the consent calendars, which consists of the minutes of September 12th in the legislative history. I have a motion by Sparing. Luce? Second by Luce. Any objection to the motion? Motion will pass with the roll call. Next, we will move to the legislative scorecard.
Good morning, Chair Haggerty, Commissioners. Rebecca Long, MTC staff. So this is just an information item. What we have in your packet is what we call the legislative scorecard. Basically, what we do is we take our advocacy program that you adopt in December each year and then go back and look at, you know, how did we do? Basically, how did we achieve or not achieve the goals that we set forth? So I'll just walk through that quickly. And, you know, we think it's important to bring that to you at this time because next month we'll be coming back with our draft LEDGE program for 2015. So it kind of puts in context, you know, the things that we wanted to do that we maybe didn't achieve that we might want to think about for next year. We also have a handout, the Goldenrod handout, where we look at the specific bills that we took positions on in 2014 and, you know, provide a summary of their status. So on the scorecard, we have the perennial issue at the top on lowering the two-thirds vote threshold. Unfortunately, as you well know, this was not achieved, and, you know, I don't have much optimism that it would be achieved next year either. It requires a two-thirds vote in Sacramento, and it's a hard one. So that is that would be a strikeout. On item 1B, we had an item related to securing new sources of funding for transportation broadly. You might remember last fall, Will Kempton came before the Legislation Committee and was talking about some ideas related to maybe a new vehicle license fee or other statewide sources of revenue. Nothing materialized along those lines. There is a bill that was signed, SB 1077, by Senator DeSaunier, that requires the CTC to begin a establishing a mileage-based fee task force, also known as a VMT fee task force. So they are going to develop a pilot program in California, really the first time that we've taken a serious look at that potential revenue mechanism. So that's sort of a long-term bill that was signed. And then, of course, there's cap and trade, which I'll get into in a moment. On the state budget, there was, you know, success there, I would say. In addition to cap and trade, we saw the final appropriation of all of the Prop 1B funds for transit, about $800 million. And there was a slight reduction in Caltrans capital outlay support staff, kind of getting back to the discussion about operations funding. The LAO has recommended a big reduction in cap outlay support. So they're starting to chip away at that in the legislature. Moving on to the second page, SB 375 implementation, that the legislature did pass SB 628. This is a tax increment financing bill that they've tried in, over the last few years since the elimination of redevelopment to reinstate tax increment financing, and the governor did sign SB 628. It allows some limited use of tax increment financing in the sense that it doesn't include the school-related property tax anymore, so it's a reduction in the amount of property tax available, but it does make it easier for local agencies to use this tool. You don't need a vote of the people to form an infrastructure financing district. You would still need a vote to issue bonds, but it's at the 55% margin rather than two-thirds. So cap and trade was really the big success. You know, there it was not a 100% success in terms of where the funds, where the decisions are going to be made about how the funds are distributed. We obviously wanted to have a greater role in that, but we did have both on 3A and 3B. We wanted to have, you know, funding in the budget year, which we did get. And then we also really wanted to see a long-term structure to provide transportation funding overall going forward. And we also were successful with that. Those are really the big items. On page 4, item 7, this is the license plate requirement that we wanted to see, temporary license plates. We were not successful there. We will certainly be coming back on that. We are actually optimistic that 2015 may, in fact, be the year we get this done. We're seeing that the administration is definitely agreeing with the need to fix this problem, and so we're hopeful that DMV will come around next year on that one. On the federal level, you know, no real action, but at least we're holding steady as far as not losing funds. And with that, I will close and just turn your attention to the handout. The back page has kind of a summary. You can see we took support positions on, let's see, about 20 bills. And of those, 9 died, 7 were enacted, 4 were vetoed. I'll just note one thing. On the vetoed bills, almost all of them had to do with pedestrian safety. Unfortunately, the governor vetoed 3 bills on that subject, all of which had higher penalties. So I think it's no secret that Governor Brown is not a fan of you know, trying to change behavior through greater fines, and he held true to that characteristic and did veto those bills. Let's see. And on the bills that we opposed, one bill is notable that was signed. It was the HOV lane permit for plug-in hybrid vehicles. So there was an increase in the number of permits by 40,000. So that wasn't a big surprise. I think our position was more one of principle than thinking that it necessarily would stop that train. So with that, I'll close and happy to answer any questions.
First of all, you know, on this paper license plate thing, which I guess proves that the lobby groups are much more powerful than people that are trying to do the right thing. It's amazing to me that the legislature can't pass a temporary license plate. It's just, I think it's deplorable politics. Okay, but let me say this. Maybe we should change our tack. Maybe we should put forward a bill that says if you don't have a license plate, you cannot go in a fast track lane.
Well, Commissioner, I think we're all for thinking of whatever tack we can do to win this. I think two things were in play last time. One is a bit of history, which I'm not going to get into. I think the other thing was just a member who had a chairmanship of a certain committee who had a lot of leverage over us. The other part is the DMV is distracted by this major implementation of licenses, driver's licenses. It's kind of a national issue to deal with undocumented individuals getting driver's licenses, and you know, for a long time they were putting us off and, you know, acting like they weren't interested and telling the legislature they weren't interested, and I think that got construed as they didn't think there was a problem. I think we've had a number of communications with the administration on this subject. I think they get the fundamental issue here. It's just like every person driving a car should have a driver's license on their person and proof of insurance in their car. Every vehicle needs to have a plate on it. And there's no reason to have any discussion about that fundamental issue. And I think they're coming around. I think they're also coming around to the issue that if you leave it open for citizens to have to do it with essentially no real penalty in place, the CHP is not going to enforce it. And they're coming around to that fact as well. So, look, I am more optimistic next year than last year. I think we should try to give it a go. If we lose again because the dealers are against us, then I think we should, as you point out, think about something more dramatic as far as our tactics.
Okay. Commissioner Sperry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for raising that issue. That's the issue I wanted to talk about. In the report here, it says it was due to concerns about state implementation costs. Is that a real issue or not?
Well, again, I think the DMV, the DMV was distracted on things that mattered more to them. I think that we had to get through a series of a lot of their resistance, which when you finally got through it, they kind of didn't want to admit that, you know, their bandwidth was kind of absorbed. I do think there are some fundamental issues. The DMV has not had a lot of success messing with their computer systems and changing and doing things. We have a workaround around that. I think that this fall and this winter, we're going to be meeting with them about how they think that we can reach this objective, which is that every vehicle coming off the lot has to have a plate on it, as opposed to our answer to have that objective take place. I think if we reel back our position a little bit, here's the solution, as opposed to this is the objective, I think we can make some progress with them as well.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, when you look at the loss of the millions of dollars, for us to participate in some of those implementation costs, I think would be
We were willing to do so and said so to them.
Okay.
Yeah, including our partners in L.A. I mean, we've got partners who have this issue. They also are, you know, we put money on the table to pay for this. So.
Anybody else? Okay, so with that, that is a startling scorecard. We will move forward. Mr. Bolger's report, did you all read that on your own? Did you wish to highlight anything?
I do. I just want to say one thing.
It's easy reading.
It is this time. I mean, as Tom and I talked yesterday, you could throw a bowling ball down Pennsylvania Avenue or K Street, not hit a thing right now. But that doesn't stop a lot of the work that's going on. You know, this is the time where we work the staff. There's a lot of rulemaking taking place. There's a lot of things that we're able to do as a result of the fact that you can roll a bowling ball down Penn Avenue right now. So that is taking place.
It's not always a bad thing when they're not there. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.